Anchored in Jesus Ministries is sponsoring a trip to see Jesus, a musical stage adventure at Sight and Sound Theater in Lancaster, PA. This will be a one-day trip, July 27th, 2018. The proceeds will benefit Anchored in Jesus Ministries. For details on this group event, go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org. That's www.anchoredinjesus.org. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series, The Great Showdown, God versus Man, from the book of Genesis. So let's join Dr. Glaze with the first half of The Sacredness of Life, Who Decides, God or Man?
The Great Showdown in Genesis chapter 1 through 11. The Great Showdown, Genesis chapter 1 through 11, God versus man. And so we continue the showdown this morning as we look at where we've been going. We see that we started out by looking at the existence of God. And in that, we talked about atheism and dealt with how could somebody be an atheist. Then we looked at the origin of the universe. And we studied the Big Bang, God versus man. The Big Bang, God versus man. And then we looked at the creation of mankind, which is evolution. And so we got deep into Charles Darwin. We looked at what he purported as his view of evolution, natural selection, the origin of the species. And so we looked at that and compared that with the Bible. Last week, we looked at the meaning of life, and this morning, we are going to look at the sacredness of life. And these are key concepts found in the beginning, and then we'll pick it up with looking at gender identity, and then finally, the ravages of sin. So you see, we have had a pretty aggressive couple of months as we've looked at this series, The Great Showdown. Now, the reason that we've been looking at this is because if the foundation is wrong, then that affects all the other parts of the house. And as we looked at all those subjects that we just tackled, and many, some reasons because that is off is because people have been on the wrong foundation. If you don't understand Genesis 1 through 11, or if you reject it, or if you try to mythologize it, or you try to spiritualize it, or you try to make it poetry, then you know what's going to happen? You're going to be on the wrong foundation. But if you accept Genesis 1 through 11, that puts you on the right foundation of knowing why we're here, knowing the beginning, the origin of many things. And so today, we're going to look at the whole concept of the sanctity or the sacredness of life, the sacredness of life. And so as has been our custom, you know, we're asking and dealing with, you know, whose view are you going to believe? Are you going to believe God's, or are you going to believe man's? And I'm going to show you something about man's ideology as we go through the message today. But as you sit here right now, and again, I put this on there because I've had some comments that have been made. And I know that there are people that are here today that don't agree or not going to agree with what I say. But again, I'm going to try to present the Word of God, and we're going to look at it and see what God says in His Word. And hopefully we pray that you will be open to the Word of God. But I definitely know that this message today, that there will be some who will not agree with it. So we roll on anyways. All right. The sacredness of life. Who decides, God or man? What is the meaning of sacredness? So when we talk about the sacredness of life, I want us all to be on the same page. And we can give different definitions and have different ideas. But let me give you the definition that I want to set so that we'll all be on the same page. And so when I say the sacredness of life, what I mean is that God created human life in His image, and He meant it to be eternal. He therefore treats it with reverence, and gives it value and meaning. So when we talk about sacredness, this is what and we can come up with all kind of additional definitions and ideas, but this is the key element when we talk about sacredness. We're talking about a couple things in here: human life that's created in the image of God, created in the image of God, and that it's eternal, that we just don't come and be and live on this earth for a little while, and then when we die, we go off into nothingness. No, this is eternal. And therefore, since God has stamped his image on our lives, that means that he treats us with reverence, and each person, each one of you sitting here today, that your life has value and meaning in the sight of God. Now, that's something to be said. Your life might not have value and meaning in the sight of your parents, in the sight of your peers, in the sight of other people, but in the sight of God, your life has value and meaning. You know, I heard the story about a man who was about to die, and his wife was well known as one of the best cooks in the church. And so they brought the man home to die, and as he was laying in his bed dying, his wife started making some collard greens. And this man was dying, and he could smell the greens all the way up in his bedroom. And somehow, he got up out of that bed, made it down the steps, lifted the pot, and started getting some collard greens. And his wife came over and smacked him on the hands and said, "Willie, you know those greens are for the funeral." See, those greens had a purpose, right? Those greens had value, and they had meaning, all right? And so when God looks at our life, God sees that, like those greens, we are a lot more valuable than the greens. But God looks at our life, and he has set us apart, and he has given value and meaning to our life. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6 says this: "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." All right, so as we move on, we see, let's look at the background to this real quick. Let's unpack the background to this message. This is after the flood, and the world has just been wiped out by a catastrophic event, the flood. And so again, I want to encourage you, some of these things that we're talking about, is Genesis history, when we have the creation ministries come, you know, they'll be talking about the flood and the effects of the flood. You know, I'll be honest with you, saints, there were some things that I scratched my head and had questions about, but when I understood the totality of the flood, according to the scripture, it answered a whole lot of questions for me. It answered a whole lot of questions. You know, when you look at these rocks and geological ages, and you look at the fact that there are marine fossils that are in mountains. How in the world did those marine fossils get up, you know, sea life? How did they get all the way up there in those mountains? There's only one way. That was a worldwide flood that took them up there, and when the flood receded, you know, these dead animals just were deposited all over the place. And so that's just a couple questions, but the flood answered a whole lot of questions for me. And so as we continue on in this series, I think, you know, maybe at some point I might even designate a message on Sunday morning to the flood. That's how important that it is. But we see that Noah and his family just came off the boat from the flood. And in chapter 9, God establishes a covenant with Noah. So if you look at Genesis chapter 9, you see that God blessed Noah and his sons, and he told them to be fruitful and to multiply. Look at verse 1. "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." And then we see that they would have, in verse 2, the respect of the animal kingdom. So that's why it lets us know that we didn't come from monkeys. We're over monkeys. We're not from monkeys. Verse 2, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all moving upon the earth and upon the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. And so we see here that the animal kingdom was given to mankind, and that they would respect the fact that human beings are on this earth. And then we see the third thing is that God gave herbs and the moving creatures for food. Now, up until this point, they were not permitted to eat meat, but now they are given meat. Look at verse 3. Every moving thing that shall be for food for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. And so we see here that God gave man meat to eat at this time and the herbs. And we see that verse 4, he was not to eat flesh with the blood in it. Verse 4, but the flesh with the life thereof, which is in the blood thereof, you shall not eat. So I gave a couple reasons here as to why he told them not to eat the meat with the blood in it. One was because the sacredness of life. And this is going to be the foundation of the message this morning. The sacredness of life. And where is life? According to Leviticus 17:11, life is in the blood. If you take the blood, if you drain the blood out of a person, you know, I mean, there's other reasons why a person would not have any life, but if they don't have any blood, they don't have life. So life is in the blood. And so blood was sacred to God, even to the point where he used it in sacrifices. You know, the Lord, you know, used wine in sacrifices. He used vegetables in sacrifices. But what was the most significant thing that God used in sacrifice? It was the blood. It was the blood. Why? Because the life was represented in the blood.
We would like to take a short break for a brief word from Dr. Glaze.
Greetings, radio friends. Your cry has been heard. The 2018 Biblical Counseling Conference at Bethany Baptist Church, we will be using the Bible to deliver people from the distressing issues of life. This year, we are focusing on toxic relationships. The workshops at this conference will include identifying and recovering from an abusive relationship, counseling teens through troubling times, identifying toxic relationships and how to break free, dealing with toxicity in codependent relationships. All are welcome. This is just not for counselors or pastors. This is for the everyday layperson in the church. There is a early bird registration if you register before March 31st. For more information, visit us at www.bethanybaptist-pgh.org or call 412-246-4463 and mention workshops. We hope to see you there.
Welcome back. We will now return to today's message.
And then here goes some secondary reasons why he told them not to eat the animal with the flesh, with the blood still in the flesh, you know, because he wanted to make sure that when you eat your steak, it's not mooing, right? So, all right. Okay, so to ensure that the animal was dead, all right? And then possibly he said this for health reasons. And then notice in verse 5, he says that whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he him. If you go to the next slide. We see that there are two principles found in this verse. Two principles found in this verse. The principle of what I call of sentence and the principle of sacredness. All right, now, I'm not going to deal too much with the principle of sentence this morning because that's a, you know, we could probably be here you know, for 3 weeks studying what the first part of that verse means. You know, a lot of people, you know, we talk about capital punishment, all right? So a lot of people use this particular phrase in this verse for capital punishment, all right? So we see here the principle of sentence. So what he says in verse 6, let me read it again. Let me read verse 6 again. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. So the principle of sentence says whoever takes a life will be sentenced to lose his life. And again, yeah, there's a lot of viewpoints out there, and I know it's very controversial, so I'm not going to touch it this morning. All right. And there's the principle of sacredness, and this is where I want to spend my time at this morning. And that is all human life is sacred because it is created in the image of God. All human life is sacred because it has the imago Dei, the image of God, stamped upon it. And here's where evolution breaks down again. So what I've been showing out throughout this whole series is the comparison, because people tell me, well, you know, you can believe in evolution and creation. No, you can't. You can't. They're absolutely diametrically opposed. All right? Why? First of all, as far as life is concerned, evolution says that human life and animal life are the same. Human life and animal life are the same. You know, one of my vices, one of my favorite television programs is Everybody Loves Raymond. Yeah. I watch the reruns. See, I need to know my Bible like I know Everybody Loves Raymond, right? All right, I'm confessing this morning. Y'all forgive me. Pray for me. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor. Right? But I remember there was one episode where they were having dinner, and Robert, his girlfriend, was at dinner, and when everybody was out of the room, she caught a fly. Y'all remember that one?
Yeah.
All right, some of y'all do. And she ate the fly. Right? Now, this is his date, right? She eats the fly. And somebody, you know, saw her eat it, and, you know, after that it was... But anyhow, he goes back to her apartment. And they go back to her apartment, and she has frogs everywhere. I mean, there's live frogs, pictures of frogs, there are statues of frogs, they're everywhere. And the guy goes in and he sees all these frogs and he realizes, hey, something's wrong here. And so it's raining cats and dogs outside, right? And so he jumps out the window, right? And so he's hanging there on the window ledge, right? Rain pouring down on him. And she said to him, Robert, you know we all come from frogs. And that's the mentality of people, right? Well, we all came from frogs. We all came from lower life forms. Well, if you can't accept that and accept the scripture, because evolution says human life and animal life are the same. That's subjective. So what do you do when you take that? You subjectify the meaning of life, all right? But when you say human life is created in the image of God, according to Genesis 1, 26 and 27, what does that mean? That means life is different. That means life is sacred. It's no longer subjective. It's no longer what I think it is. It's no longer how I interpret it to be. But life is sacred when I realize that it's in the image of God. The origin, evolution says human life has developed naturally. So again, that's subjective. God says human life has been created by God. And that's sacred. That's sacred. The appraiser. Evolution says man determines the value of human life. So however you feel it should be, you determine the value of human life. If you want it to be valuable, it's valuable. If you don't want to value, and I'm going to show you here in a second. If you don't want to value it, then you don't value it. All right? But what does the scripture say? The scripture says God determines the value of human life. And if God determines the value of human life, then we know that human life is sacred. God values life. Man devalues life. When you think about how man has devalued life, we see all these things up here that God places a heavy premium on the fact that he created man, that he reached out into the dirt. He created man. He blew into man the breath of life. And God looks at that. And God says, he stamps his image on it. And he says, this life is sacred to me, that this life is meaningful to me. But if I came out of some primordial slime, if I came, as we saw last week, how did we say that? From goo to you by way of the zoo, right? If that's the case, then there's no value on that type of life. You know, I read something I thought was very interesting, and it's called The Monkey's Viewpoint. It says this. Three monkeys sat in a coconut tree discussing things they said to be. Said one to the others, "Now listen, you two, there's a certain rumor that can't be true, that man descended from our noble race. The very idea is a big disgrace. No monkey ever deserted his wife, starved her babies, or ruined her life. And you've never known another monk to leave her babies with others to bunk, or to pass them from one to another till they scarcely know who is their mother. And another thing you'll never see, a monk build a fence around a coconut tree and let the coconuts go to waste, forbidding all other monks to taste. Why, if I put a fence around a tree, starvation would force you to steal from me. Here's another thing a monk won't do. Go out at night and get on a stew, or use a gun, a club, or a knife to take some other monkey's life. Yes, man descended, that ornery cuss, but brothers, he did not descend from us." I like that. The monkey's viewpoint. Monkey, when the monkey looks at man, he don't want to have anything to do with man. I like what it said. Man might have descended, that ornery cuss, but brother, he did not descend from us. So even the monkeys realized that man didn't come from him. All right. So when we think about this, look at the fact that God values life, but man devalues life. When you think about abuse, that wives, women, children are being abused. The fact that a man would take his hand and put his hand on a woman is an indication that he does not value life, that he devalues life. Because especially when you look at 1 Peter and it says that God created the wife as the gentle vessel, and that she is to be honored and treasured, and that's the way that the man is supposed to look at the life of his mate. But to reach out and hit his wife is actually reaching out and striking at the image of God. And so we see abuse. When police, as we have seen over the last couple of years, and I'm not going to broad brush police this morning, here at Bethany Baptist Church, I would like to think we have a great relationship with the police in our neighborhood.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Sacredness of Life. Who decides, God or man? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Sacredness of Life, Who Decides, God or Man? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Sacredness of Life, Who Decides, God or Man? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Sacredness of Life, Who Decides, God or Man? Or call us at 877-831-5060. That's 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for our soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.